more. Baby, it's not nice. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got quite a program during this first and second hour. The first hour, we're going to concentrate on some of Zach's revelations. He's called in recently on the 27th to Alex Jones's show, InfoWars, and we just have to put this out. It's just too important, and it paints a really behind the scenes, deep intelligence type of a view. So here we go with Zach, and his conversation with Alex Jones is very, very enlightening. So listen carefully.
Now Zach is based in Florida. Zach's a great intel source. I know who he is. Great info. We're going to go to him in just a moment. Just briefly here, we have a new product that I'm very, very excited about. And to explain how we operate, I go out and I look at the industry. And I look at what the scientists and the doctors and the researchers and the nutritionists are saying the best. And then I notice that stuff tends to be overpriced with low quality in much of the industry of supplements. But no one denies that really good fiber, prebiotic fiber, is important. Well, this is the best source prebiotic fiber that we could come up with top manufacturers. It's concentrated. It's a big old keg of it. It's not from these cruddy sources. It is the organic apple fruit fiber, organic flaxseed, organic blueberry fruit fiber, organic cranberry fruit fiber, and a bunch of other stuff that is documented and known to be really, really good for the body. So it's our latest product. We're coming out with a full line of the highest quality supplements. I'm going to get into the safe, documented sports enhancement, pre-workout, post-workout. Not that I'm the best out there, but that we are getting the best people to develop all this. Sign up for auto shipping, an additional 10% off. But it's $17.76 right now for a product that most people would sell for $50 that we normally sell for $30. So it is $17.76, prebiotic fiber, very close to cost, but I want you to get it and see how great it is. And we're coming out with a new way because I'm going with another big manufacturer that is as good or better than what we have, and this is excellent, but that we're going to have a new name for it and stuff as well. So we have a limited amount of our True Way, super high quality, 100% cow derived protein. It's so good for yourself, your family. It's just you know, pure whey. So many others are fillers and garbage, or they don't test like they say they do. This is high quality. It is 50% off until it sells out, probably just in a week or so. DNA Force at 60%+ off because we're coming out with new DNA Force Plus. We're able to get the same stuff at a much lower price, so we're able to lower the price on it. It's 67% off, but that's going to stop today because it is at cost. It is at cost. That's what it costs. There's $49 or really more of product in every bottle of DNA Force. Now I'm able to get it for $30. So I've lowered the overall MSRP. So I've got a 1,117 reviews from Power Reviews, 96% review. They were selling it for $200 to $400 to $500 at medical facilities, but people would pay, and it wasn't prescription as the doctor said, and there'd be like $60 or $30 in the bottle. BioPQQ, CoQ10, and other key cofactors. And I just said, what does this really cost? We went and looked, and they're like, well, that'll be, $45, $50 a bottle, depending on the run. you sign your contract, maybe $40 a bottle. But that's a lot of money. You got to pay a lot of it up front. And then, you know, people think you're selling something for $100. You know, it must be a ripoff. No, it'd be $300 everywhere else. We've gone out and been able to, we're selling so much of it now to get it for $30 a bottle. Signed a year contract on that. And so now we're going to sell it for $60, $70, $80 under operation. But you're, I mean, little bottles of BioPQQ that are synthetic are $50. It doesn't do anything when it's synthetic. Little tiny bottles are $50. This is a big giant bottle filled to the top with BioPQQ and CoQ10 and all of it. It's just ridiculous. And so Cell Force is about to sell out. It's going to be the new DNA Force Plus. It's discounted. You've also got this, but it's all ending because it's selling out. It's like the toothpaste did. Okay, I'm done ranting. That's how we fund our operation. Please support our local affiliates. You can see they're trying to shut us down everywhere. A bunch of the specials ended because they sold out or they got right at selling out. And so we're going to coast out until the new stuff comes in. But we've got new sales, including the new Best Source. I'm going to change the name once it comes out with a new label, because right now it's just called Prebiotic Fiber. But, I mean, we did it to have the best source or best ingredients. We've got to see what's trademarked. But, I mean, it's the best you can get. And it's still not that much. They just mark up the average supplement 7 times. We mark it up 100 times. You know, not 100 times, but 100%. And then that's how we pay the bills. You get high quality. So you get high quality at a low price. Okay, let's stop right there. Joining us is Zach. I know who Zach is. He has been in military intelligence. He's been in news articles. He's been on national news. He has given us impeccable intel that checked out with our FBI sources, that checked out with our other military sources, Navy SEAL sources, Delta Force sources, White House sources, CIA sources. Just very accurate. He's just giving you what the thinking is of some of the smartest people that are interfaced with stuff. He's not giving you classified stuff. So we got a short segment here, long segment coming up. So Zach joins us to give us what's going on with the shooting, Florida, the rollout against free speech, what's happening in the Middle East, just what's going on in Trumplandia here. So, Zach, thank you for joining us.
Yes, Alex, it's great to be back on and have the opportunity to connect some dots. There's obviously a lot of moving pieces right now, so we got to get into it. But just to piggyback there on the Syria info, this wasn't brought up, and this is just now breaking, and we could look it up in real time as I'm talking about it. What's going on in Syria right now? This just got discovered. North Korea is being used to false flag Syria in World War III. And I know that sounds sensational, but go ahead and start looking it up. New York Times put the story out here a couple hours ago. Maybe a couple minutes ago, they were pressured to do it by decent factions within the UN that we forced their hand. This sounds pretty fantastical, but this is a reality. So there are some trade programs going on with factions in Syria and North Korean groups or whatever. We have to realize that North Korea is a Chinese deep state-backed thing. So we would say, why would they be helping them? Well, this is the deep state and the communists trying to sabotage us and get us into a World War III with, by proxy, Russia. This is happening. The stories are out there. 40 containers were discovered. You know, stuff that, you know, the chlorine-based weapons, all of this stuff. So not only are they trying to sabotage the talks legitimately we're having with North Korea, they're trying to tie them into this red line fiasco in Syria and kick off a major, major global war, all while they are doing the same thing here in the States, which we could get into the big problems in Broward County, the continued false flags, and not to mention the information coming out of Cambridge and the Dark Trace Group, which is the digital false flag info. So we have quite a number of things to get into, so we can kind of start picking at them if you'd like.
Okay, we've got a minute. Start with one of them.
Okay, so the North Korean stuff is pretty important. The Syria issue, over the weekend, you have 60 Minutes and Scott Pelley putting out the expose of tugging on the heartstrings that there was a chemical attack in Syria that occurred. That is accurate. A chemical attack did occur, but it did not occur by the Assad forces. Let's just be clear. That's ridiculous. That's suicidal. We know it didn't happen by them. It was the quote-unquote rebel groups that got the capability in containers shipped from North Korea on record. They were discovered by UN workers there, you know, on the ground, and they were forced there to report it. And this is what's going on the ground right now in Syria, which ties into a bigger global issue and, you know, kind of a tug of war of power. But this is pretty critical information, because this is not just some accident. This is showing the real issues of strategic patience on the Korean Peninsula and really what it's going to do, and, you know, how deep this really goes around the globe. We'll be right back.
Wow. So it sounds like a type of false flag. We know they've caught the Al-Qaeda ISIS forces before staging chemical false flags, but they got caught. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. I'm not going to delve into this, but DrudgeReport.com is linked to it right now. InfoWars, one strike away from YouTube ban. That's the hill. Now, again, on Friday, CNN said they filed the complaints. They got one strike to ban us having live streams. Another strike froze the account. And then the Hill says Jones claims it's part of a CNN lobbying campaign, but never even points out they said they're behind it. They filed the complaints. So, see, mainstream media out of hundreds of articles will never even tell you that another news organization known for fake news, CNN, is trying to shut us down. That's so sensational. But the bigger news is, in triangulating this, chemical weapons, they've tried this three times. They've launched them twice, saying that the Syrian government launched it. But the Islamists love to, the ISIS forces love to say that, videotape it for fame and fortune. And so they always videotape themselves doing it. But this new case, they found some of it, and they're now saying, oh, look, Syria's behind it. Who's trying to kick off the big war? Break it down. Let's get into all the other things that are happening. The school shooting, the climate, the whole situation, Zach.
Yes, and it all ties together because, and it's no coincidence that Trump makes his announcement for 2020 because he has to see who's really on his side here. It's unprecedented to come out this early, and he has to do this because we are in an absolute war. It's happening right now. Jerome Corsi has hinted to it. The military tribunals are being set up. There's so many issues going on around the world, and it's really incredible. But this latest thing in Syria, this is obvious false flag. They're blaming the Assad regime, which is completely ridiculous. And by blaming the Assad regime, they're really tying Russia into it and really putting us at odds with Russia and trying to get Trump to do something here with the red lines, with the general, some of the global political thinkers there at the White House, which is very dangerous. There's still a real threat in the Middle East right now, but we're distracted at home with these other issues that I believe are fabricated. In fact, I know a lot of them are fabricated at home to really distract us. And they're double barbed to take individuals like you, your organizations out, push the internet censorship, do all this at the same time because we have their number with Trump in the White House and they have to pull out all the stops. Otherwise, they are done. And they know that the writing's on the walls. They know that Guantanamo is being emptied. They know that their power brokers, that their financiers are going to be prosecuted. And they're going to try their darndest to assassinate our president, but if they cannot do that, they are going to kill people at country music festivals. They are going to kill kids in schools. They are going to start wars around the globe. They are going to crash the economy because they are done and they are guilty. If you were in their shoes and you thought like they would, it's not that hard to come up with a conclusion. And I can tell you in real time, this is happening. And when you go to Broward County, you got big problems in Broward County with Sheriff Israel and his heavy connections to the deep state and the far left factions, especially the Clinton crime family. Not to mention that he's hired as a deputy sheriff there in Broward County, Nazar Hamzy. And who is Nazar Hamzy? Nazar Hamzy is the former CARE head honcho out of Tampa, Florida. And CARE is the Council on American Islamic Relations, which is really a deep state Muslim brotherhood and major political player. It's what they are. That's exactly what they are. And this guy was the head honcho out of the Tampa office, which is the pinnacle of CARE in this country. So he went out of his way to hire Mr. Hamzy in Broward County. I can't get into certain speculations on what happened that day in that school. Of course, kids died. The question is, how was this allowed to happen? What's the deeper story and what's going on? This is not an isolated event. These have been going on in a timeline in this country since Trump has been elected, and it's obvious. But there have been a guilt and shame patriots for even speaking about this, which is their tactic. And they're even pushing Trump here because Trump is going to – he's meeting with the governors, and he is going to push some sort of gun control, very limited but something. And with his major base, is going to have major delegate implications in 2020. So they're going to do everything they can not to have him in 2020. And if they can't assassinate him physically, they will attempt to do it politically by forcing his hand here.
Well, I know what he does where he'll do something that sounds reasonable, so then they ask for everything, and then he doesn't have to do anything knowing it's all a fraud, just like he did with the whole Dreamer situation. But I still just don't know why he'd make this move, because they want total gun bans. They're never going to give up.
Well, it's so complicated now when you have dead children. They've stopped at nothing. There's dead kids now. they are psychopaths out of control. There's dead kids now, so like there has to be a reaction. And it's just like, this is, what do you do? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Do something here. He has to do something. I mean, there's a political reality to that. But let's just get into what's going on in Broward County with the Sheriff Israel, which is deep state connected, no question about it. His downfall, I think, should be the hiring of the deputy sheriff, Nazar Hamzy. And Nazar Hamzy worked for CARE, and the reason I keep on bringing CARE up, because I'm very, very aware of CARE. Let's just say real close to CARE. Well, I was in the military in 2009. I did an event with them in Tallahassee called Florida Muslim Capitol Day, where they use these organizations to go to state capitals and kind of bully and lobby legislators in the actual capitals. And this is a political arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, make no mistake. And I just saw what they were doing. I understood what they were doing. And my position in the military obviously had me interacting and kind of utilizing them in certain capacities. And what I saw was incredible, what's going on out of CARE. And CARE is not just, you know, shy little, hey, we're just a SJW political pro-Muslim organization. They are a Muslim Brotherhood affiliated group. Make no mistakes. They're just on our shores. And that's without question. And, you know, out of Tampa, Florida, there's some real issues coming out of that branch out of Tampa, Florida, which Mr. Hamzy ran. So you want to talk about having a separation of church and state. These guys are in our capitals. Just in, you know, on March 5th through the 9th in Oklahoma at the Capitol there, they're having one of their next Muslim Capitol days. And this stuff kind of gets, you know, pushed under the rug. But you have to understand, when we had another administration in the White House working with these NGOs and other, you know, 501c3s, the things that were being done, the sanctuary cities, the Syrian refugees being
this is a rebellion. This is a total breakaway where they tell MS-13 that ICE is coming to get them in Oakland. It's sedition, and expanding on that. It's not even bashing Muslims. It's the special Muslim Brotherhood groups. Look what Turkey's doing right there in Europe. They're setting up at every capital their own Turkish party saying, do what Turkey says. So these are Turkish citizens saying they're there to basically conquer Europe. And the politicians, the Western politicians, want this because it's part of a larger global takeover. That's what's happening.
Yeah, CARE is not looking out for the faith. It's not looking out for Muslim Americans in the country. CARE is faith pimping. They are using the faith as a whole to get in and make political moves. You know, they're not, yeah, they're in the community doing some things, but they are in capitals doing things. They are getting people in the legislature. They're getting Keith Ellison in Minnesota. They're in the legislators. They are in the political system. They're tied to the Awan brothers. They were deeply entrenched in the Obama administration. They are deeply entrenched with the Clinton family. And I have firsthand knowledge in 2009 where I was talking and communicating with the very, very, very top, the Helms out of English, but, you know, calling.
Start over. Your phone broke up at that critical point, Zach. You were talking to the very top.
The very top of the funding Helms of CARE out of Tampa, Florida. Saudi Arabia, who get their marching orders from Saudi Arabia. And I was involved, obviously, in some, I really can't get it, some work in the United States military where, let's just say, it involved Fort Hood, the Fort Hood shooting, mini plots, all these shootings around here. These groups, these political groups, are instrumental in getting these people, handpicking these individuals.
Well, we know Major Hassan was in communication with Al-Qaeda for 2 years. The CIA knew about the attack months before and didn't stop him. Same thing now with this attack. And by false flag, they're letting them happen bare minimum. Why would you do that?
You have to. They're in their death hurdle. There's military tribunals coming. I don't think people understand what's going on right now. Donald Trump signed an executive order which put our nation into a state of emergency. This gave him the legal right to hold military tribunals. These are happening. Guantanamo had a chain of command shuffle.
And you agree, though, clearly, that's the first thing I thought, 980 days out. He's doing this to show who's loyal and who isn't, because he knows Romney's getting ready to run against him, but acting like a friend. That way they have to all endorse him now, and that kills the whole fake Republican field. It's a very smart move.
You're going to see exactly where people lie there. And after the shooting, he's getting real savvy in the political sphere of things. But they forced his hand here. Listen, this is the ruthlessness of the deep state. There's dead children here. There's dead concert goers. There's kids that were hit by chemical attacks in Syria. But this was not the Assad regime. These are the same people killing kids in Miami that are dropping chemical weapons in Syria. The same money's behind it.
We got teachers and students reporting men in, quote, army guard, and the police stand down outside, and now the stand down's confirmed. And we even speculate they ban us. Since when are you not supposed to in America, when you have the reports of the stand down and you've got somebody like you that's got the credentials to not talk about it? It's incredible. And this just shows the purge. And if we give into this, we'll give into everything. But I legitimately said I don't think it's crisis actors and a false flag. But then the evidence starts to mount that they stood down. Rush Limbaugh has picked up our report dealing with the sheriff's deputies shielding criminal activity in Broward County for many years. There's a major scandal with the previous sheriff. And all I know is they banned our videos on YouTube that had nothing to do with saying they were crisis actors, but they were students on local news, on national news, and then that we talked to all saying the same thing, that they saw Cruz while the shooting was going on, that it was men in full garb, completely covered, that they were taking body bags out as the police were there throwing the backs of trucks. And we have video from choppers of body bags being thrown in while the shooting's still going on. I don't know what's going on. But you got David Hogg being fed lines. I'm not saying he wasn't there. Just he's obviously a spokesman for the gun lobby, anti-gun lobby. And then bizarre video, David Hogg's his sister lost four best friends, then two, then three. And Facebook journalists have been kicked off if they share the video. So I've green-lighted this going up. And they're going to ban us anyways, folks. We have to fight back. We have to spread the word. YouTube's had to back off after doing a second strike and banning the channel. And I guess they're like, no, we got to find a better video, because in that video he said they weren't crisis actors. But Zach is well-known. He's not giving his last name. He's been involved in famous anti-terrorism cases. And he lives there in Florida. He's involved, obviously, in different things around there. And you're saying that this is part of a deep state operation. All I know is we're being very judicious about this, and none of it adds up, and that CNN's having fake town halls, and then they're using this to ban everybody, and famous baseball players simply say these kids look coached, and they're kicked out of the Baseball Hall of Fame or not allowed in. I mean, what happened to free speech here? I mean, we know they're attacking that.
Yeah, absolutely. They're just going to shame and guilt people into this, and it's the same sort of thinking behind pushing Trump's hand here to actually do something that's going to cause him some friction with his base. And it's sick, and it's out of control. This is the type of enemies we got, and all this is going on. Meanwhile, on a AI front, we have to get into this because this is critical, and I know that you're experiencing, obviously, a lot of disruption, we'll call it, on your site, service, and the like there, because it's obvious what's going on. You're being attacked. And now we have individuals, well, it was well known in Silicon Valley, but some of the decent factions, the majority are out of their minds in Silicon Valley, but there are some decent factions who knew the worries of these AI systems. They're worried about jobs being taken, but before that, it's going to get into what I'm about to discuss. And so just to preface this, everyone, just to let everybody know, the Chinese premier is essentially becoming anointed in China. This was supposed to be the Chinese century. Trump kind of derailed that. Our economy's back on its feet. And now, all of a sudden, you're seeing the Chinese also pull out all the stops because they're not happy about the prosperity of America, which, you know, they also hold a lot of debt of and everything else. So I just got to preface with the Chinese situation, because what we have here being broken out publicly, we knew this. The people who knew this, but publicly out of Cambridge, the Dark Trace group has finally come out with what's going on online. This major AI system, which is putting malicious software onto system, people's computers, organizations' computers and software, anything smart, laptops, phones, computers. And what they're doing with the software is gathering all your messages. They're gathering all of your emails. They're gathering all of your calendars, all of your itineraries, everything. This is then being uploaded to an AI system that learns how to mimic the way you talk, the way you interact, and also who you're talking to. So once they also get into your computer, it then drags that to whoever you're talking about and repeats that process.
And then, hold on, then it can engage. Let's come back from break, and we'll get more time with you, and then Pachena will come on. Then it can launch a AI war, making everybody fight with each other, mimicking friends, family, neighbors to cause societal collapse. Is that what you're getting into? Is the ultimate weapon? You know, the Kingsmen talked about a wavelength being projected out of the phones, which we know they have that stuff. But we're talking about beyond that, where the AI calls, send messages, does all this, and I've read about this, to then cause massive social distortion. If you think all the race war talk's bad, if you think them saying we said things we didn't say and putting it all over the news, that's primitive high-tech information war. We're talking about beyond that. And Apple's moving its main base to China, merging with them and giving all the IDs of Apple users to the Chinese communist government to launch a giant AI attack out of China. They've chosen sides. We're finishing up with Zach, a great intelligence source, who's proven very, very accurate. And he was getting into the different AI systems, the different power blocks in the world, and Apple has announced it's moving to China. They're accepting the zero tax plan, but they're going to merge with the Communist Party. China announced 5 weeks ago to counter Trump. They just said, move here, no taxes, but you've got to let the people's party control you. Now the president's becoming a dictator. He's already a dictator of the Politburo and the Central Committee, but now he's a true dictator if this goes through. And I just saw a headline in there. Can you put that headline up, guys, that I was talking about, where someone in the public sphere told a story that wasn't sexually explicit and wasn't sexual, but could be construed as interpreted as sexual harassment. So the mental illness level, fired League of Legends coach, the story I told wasn't sexually explicit, but could be constructed or interpreted as sexual harassment. That's the next level of this stuff. And here it is. YouTube hits Alex Jones with second strike. Watch these banned videos. CNN lobbies to have competing media platform removed. And we have an update. They've now removed the second strike because the video is the opposite of what they said, but you can see it there. And it's only because we have our own platform that they had to do that. We're going to finish up with Zach and then go to Dr. Steve Pachenik to give us an update on his take on all this. Finishing up, Zach, you were getting into AI computers, being able to mimic humans, getting all your databases to then do what?
Yes, and then also, so they're using those, getting the computers, getting the information, learning how to mimic you in real time. And then also on everyone's phone, computer, all these things, they're using the transcript and translation service that's picking up audio in real time. So it's spying on you in real time. You've been talking about this for years, but this is a part of the AI system that's being. So when you're, you know, entering in passwords, when you're talking about plans, when you're having, you know, talking about how location of servers, passwords into servers, passwords into everything. They're getting it in real time, and they're clipping audio, they're doing things, and where this all leads right now, it's just sabotage. So you're going to have some disruption coming to your site. Maybe when you run a store there, so there might be unfulfilled orders or something in your own carts and stuff like that. But what's ultimately leading to is digital false flags, where once this AI really learns who you are and they could physically recreate you and digitally from your
it will it will have you go and the AI will create a whole, even a video of you in sex chat, believing you know you're talking to a 5-year-old girl, and then it will artificially frame you.
Yes, so they'll start something minimal that's social shaming, but then they'll get into
it'll have you order drugs online that get shipped to your house, just basically the next level of spoofing.
Yes, it's coming, and right now it's going to start as sabotage. Hopefully, they can knock you off that way and have the public just do their bidding. Because who needs crisis actors when you have full spectrum dominance? If these kids really are brainwashed and believe it, it is what it is. I'm not going to go there, but listen, things aren't what they seem, and people don't want to come out and say it due to retribution. We are in a war. This is not the first false flag. This is one of many, and it won't be the last. They're forcing their hand. The tribunals are coming, and all of these things were discussed and lead into this point. The military tribunals are coming. And, you know, they were supposed to release six detainees from Guantanamo last week. That didn't happen. They were going to release one of them into Saudi Arabian custody. And then people need to look in. I can't get the names, but look into exactly who this individual is. Because if you don't think that these guys aren't talking to our current administration, you're wrong. They are so found out, they are so guilty of what they've done overseas in these wars with these individuals who are actually in Guantanamo, that they're done. And they are and this is a tough thing. You know, why hasn't it already happened? When is this going to happen? When this occurs, it will be the biggest kinetic shift in the world ever, that the world's ever seen. We're talking about people in the Obama administration all the way up to Barack himself. being tried. Because when you pull things off like you did in Libya and you did in Iraq initially, and the real information that we have on Saddam Hussein, the real information on the State Department dealing with Muammar Gaddafi, you have a big, big problem. So, yeah, you better do everything in your power to either set this country and this world into World War III or kill the President of the United States if you're them. And believe me, they are trying every day. Because they are so guilty on a karmatic and global historical scale that I don't even know how they maintain consciousness. Once this is revealed in this year, at the end of this year, when these things start occurring, if they don't set this world on fire, we'll change the world obviously forever. So they're doing everything they can. They are in a deep state death hurdle going towards the inevitable. But they're not going to go down without a fight. These are kids who are killed trying to force us into a position politically to get out of control and kill our own, all while starting World War III in Syria and the Korean Peninsula simultaneously. This is sick. This is fantastic. This is you cannot write this script. And if you even question it, you're shamed. You're guilty by association. You're burned at the stake, and it will be the end of us. Because the people who are doing the left's bidding and the deep state's bidding, I just want to let you guys know, there's no loyalty. If you think it stops with Alex Jones, if you think it stops with InfoWars, if you think it stops with Donald J. Trump, what's going to happen in 10 years when you're the target? It's bigger than this. This is a fight for humanity. This is a fight for the right. And this is unprecedented what's going on, but I just hope Trump has the wherewithal to really go through with it, because really doing this is going to shake.
Well, I mean, they've already got hundreds of cities saying they're telling MS-13 when the police are coming. They're in total sedition. The Democrats are running around psychopathically saying kill all the NRA members. They've turned their minions into frothing, violent people on the street. And these blue areas are like cancers. They're the ones attacking. Jack, I really appreciate your time. You're a great patriot. Your info is always amazing. Thank you.
There's just so much going on out there. And Zach has been a former intelligence operative in deep government work and deep government projects. He knows a lot about the smuggling of arms through Morocco into Libya and eventually into Syria. So he has insights that very few people that we listen to that have been interviewed. And Alex has a really good grasp of this overall. See, so that's why we get a really really good view of what he's doing. Next, we have coming up, Judge Jeanine sat in for Sean Hannity last Friday. And she first quizzed Tammy Bruce and Lisa Booth, and both had a lot to say about the appointment of a special prosecutor. There's great pressure right now coming to bear on Jeff Sessions, and they just think he's moving too slowly, but he does have to move at his own pace, and he's got quite a department to see over. And it's difficult to try to start an investigation of any kind where you end up investigating your own investigator, the FBI, and yourself. See, this is what we're getting into. But listen carefully to this. This is Judge Jeanine speaking with Tammy Bruce and Lisa Booth. And both of them are very highly outspoken ladies, and they have some very, very good opinions. So listen to this carefully, and then we'll make a few comments.
Joining us now with reaction, our independent women's voice president and Fox News contributor, Tammy Bruce, and Fox News contributor, Lisa Booth. All right. It's very interesting, Lisa, and I'll start with you. And that is, my understanding of what goes on in Washington is that the attorney general doesn't meet with anyone, assuming he's going to meet anyone at all, without Rosenstein or Rosenstein's staff. And now I got it straight from the horse's mouth that when asked a serious question, the attorney general defers to Rosenstein and his staff for answers. Well, and I'm sure part of that is because he recused himself from the Russia investigation, so perhaps he doesn't want the appearance of impropriety. But the problem But the problem here is we need to get to the bottom of a ton of questions about the DOJ and the FBI's handling of both the Hillary Clinton investigation and the Russia investigation. I don't think we can trust either the FBI or the DOJ to conduct that investigation themselves. Now, I am curious about seeing what is going to come out in this Inspector General report by Michael Horowitz. He was the one that unearthed the text message exchange between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and he does have a solid history of going after government agencies, like we saw with Fast and Furious and the ATF, which led to shakeup in leadership there, also going after the DEA and the Columbia prostitution scandal that they were involved with as well. So, and I think depending on what he comes up with, that could be the impetus for maybe another special counsel investigation or further action there. So I'm very curious to see what he comes out with.
Yeah, well, I'm not holding my breath. Tammy?
well, look, I think that in some ways, I think, like many Americans, we see scandal after scandal. Finally, the curtain is being drawn back. And it wouldn't surprise me if even someone like Jeff Sessions is shocked by the nature of what we're seeing unfold. This is at the very top of the FBI. Wherever you look at whomever you look, it's not only a level of corruption and collusion, if you will, but blatant and sloppy and open. And we have to ask, one, this wasn't new. How long has this been going on? But then you have to ask, how far through the government does it go? And I think that we've got to make sure, and we must push, because the inclination is going to be, this is either too big or I don't believe it because it's too shocking. But
you
the fact
what?
Is, this is our chance,
Tammy,
to clean up this government.
Tammy, this guy was a prosecutor, a United States attorney. You are looking and reading the same things that we're all reading.
But
you want to tell me the guy's in shock, he's not doing anything?
His body was the Senate, and he moved through for an innumerable length of time, and we can't dismiss the impact of living in that bubble.
So we lost this prosecutorial bull.
I'm a big fan of Jeff Sessions, but I think we're seeing that, maybe he thought this would be a bit more bureaucratic than it really has ended up being. Thank goodness for the president that he's got an eye on this. He's publicly making sure individuals know how serious this is. But even with them trying to keep the tamp down, like with the McCabe situation, if you look to the left, you look to the right, you wake up in the morning, there's some new scandal in front of you because it's finally all coming out and they can't keep it in the bottom.
All right, Lisa, I mean, how do you take that? I mean, you know, that it's so shocking that the attorney general can't deal with it. And I'm going to even add something to that. James Rubicki, who was Comey's chief of staff, says, we found a lot of new emails. We did find new stuff, but nothing is going to change our view of the original conclusion in July. That's the upshot. I mean, I read that and I say, take them out in cuffs.
Well, you know, I think that agencies don't want scrutiny. Right. So there could be an element of that, if even Jeff Sessions not wanting the DOJ as a department to face scrutiny. But the problem is, I think Americans have lost so much trust in institutions, and rightfully so. When you see some of these text messages that have come out from FBI agents like Peter Strzok, that was one of the lead investigators with Hillary Clinton, also involved with the Russia investigation as well. And so I think that to get more trust, to get Americans to once again trust American institutions, that we need to find some answers here about what went on and from a trusted source.
I just have to say that we can't dismiss the fact that, because this is all so new, the fact that we are getting information that normally the American people would never have seen.
Right.
And it's about also managing that. Jeff Sessions clearly is not managing it well. But for the American people and what's moving forward here, we have the courage to be able to look at it and to deal with it. And the president is going to have to act. Clearly, Jeff Sessions, I mean, look, he wants to be the attorney general. It's a great job. But maybe this is different than what he expected it to be. Ultimately, every American, regardless of what your party is, you've got to care about this, because this is about the collapse, if you will, of our law enforcement agencies being used more as a bureaucratic political cudgel than really doing their job in
general. You know, Lisa, one of the things that you said was that, you know, that he doesn't
doesn't want the integrity of the Department of Justice, that being Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, to be attacked. But that's his job. Plus, he was never there at the time that it was so corrupt. So he, if he really believes in truth, justice, and the American way, could go and clean it up and be the hero. But he's not.
Well, no, I do. I absolutely think Americans need answers here. Because even Andrew McCabe.
So how are we going to get the answers?
Well, that is why maybe I'm just hopeful, Judge.
Of what?
I want just some sort of element of truth and answers here. And I'm hoping that with the Inspector General report, perhaps it blows the doors open on some of these questions that Americans have.
Because
prosecutor. Even look at someone like Andrew McCabe. Yeah. He was not forthright to Congress about the fact that he knew who financed the
DOJ. What's amazing? Andrew McCabe wasn't forthcoming. Christopher Wray knew what was going on. And until he took a walk to the White House, he wasn't going to fire
McCabe. Now, Sessions sets up probes and inspector generals. He can set up a special prosecutor. In March of last year, he said he was open to the idea. He never did it. The fact is that we got to support everybody who's asking for the special prosecutor, all of the members of the House of Representatives who are, because that is the only way that we can actually have
Do we support it? Do we have a hotline? Do we have an email? Do we have a hashtag? How do viewers say, I want this to happen? I'm sick of hearing about
call
this
your
garbage.
Member of Congress to
the
put
phone
pressure.
Still works.
The phone still works. Email, phone call, your own forums, Twitter, social media. They watch, they know, they feel it.
They do, and they feel the pressure.
Or just
numbers.
Listen to the judge.
Yeah. Tune in.
She'll tell
All
you.
Right, thanks. All right. Anyway, come.
They're both saying, of course, Judge Jeanine also agreed that the inspector general right now that's concluding his investigations and so forth does not have prosecutorial power and to convene grand juries. He's preparing a report now. Jeff Sessions hopefully will take that report and appoint a special prosecutor. That's what we're hoping that will happen. But we don't know that to be for sure. Coming up next, we've got Sarah Carter and Gray Jarrett reporting on some of the latest ins and outs of the FISA court scandal. So here we go with Sarah Carter and Gray Jarrett.
Now, in a letter released yesterday, House Intel Committee Chair Devin Nunes accused the FBI of violating not only its own protocol, but possibly even the criminal statutes by using the Steele dossier to help obtain a FISA warrant to surveil Trump campaign associate Carter Page. Joining me now with more is Fox News contributor Sarah Carter and Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett. All right, good evening. I must tell you, Greg, and I'm going to start with you. The thing that I don't understand is why I haven't heard anything about a FISA judge, you know, calling the FBI, calling the Department of Justice into his or her chambers to say, how dare you put this political garbage in front of me? How dare you basically obstruct real justice and commit a fraud and contempt of the court by alleging that this is a sufficient basis for surveillance?
Maybe they did it. It is, after all, a secret court. But I suspect we'd know about it by now if they had. And if they didn't do it, they should have done it, and they're breaching their duty by failing to do it. Those judges should be demanding that the high officials at DOJ and the FBI appear before them and say, you concealed evidence. You deceived me. You didn't tell me that this was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. You didn't tell me that you knew that Christopher Steele was a liar. If you had told me those things, I would never have granted a warrant to surveil on an American citizen.
So when people say, you know, that this is the kind of thing where the FISA court warrants are so difficult, they're 40, 50 pages, and yet we hear nothing about a sanction or lawyers being brought up on contempt like Jim Comey,
right.
What in the last 90 days, in addition to this dossier, what reasonable cause have you developed that will allow me to continue on this, issuing this surveillance warrant.
Exactly. They have to have probable cause. They didn't have it. And the bulk of their FISA application was based on a phony document, which was unverified, which is against the law. Look, as I see it, and I've studied the different felony statutes, they violated six of them. Abuse of power, perjury, misleading statements, fraud, conspiracy to commit fraud, and obstruction. Those
contempt,
are the six
contempt
things.
Contempt of court.
Devin Nunes has pointed out contempt of court. That's sort of a given. They
yeah.
should have been held in contempt of court immediately.
All right. Sarah Carter, what are you hearing? I mean, you're giving us all these little, you know, tidbits and facts, I should say, not little tidbits, that lead us to the next discussion. What have you learned in the last 24 hours?
Well, two things. I want to go back to the courts really quick. Remember that the presiding judge over the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, this is the secret court, Rosemary Collier, did send a letter to Devin Nunes and others saying, look, we don't object formally or informally. We've told you both times to releasing the applications on Carter Page. I think this is their response saying, look, we'll release those documents if the executive branch allows us, and we'll get those documents out to the public. I think this is their way of objecting to what the FBI did. So we don't know what happened behind closed doors, but before the public, I think this letter was highly significant.
Very significant. Sarah, hang on. I want to jump to Greg on this. So if the presiding judge of the FISA court says we have no objection to the release of that information, she's still hedging it, saying somebody else, the president, has
somebody else has to do it. Well, the executive
Why?
Branch would have to do it, and that would mean essentially Jeff Sessions, who's not really the attorney general. He just pretends to be one. It's Rod Rosenstein. He would never do it because he is
president?
Trying to conceal all of the
president?
Illegal acts committed by the FBI and the Department of Justice. I agree. The president should instruct the attorney general to disclose this information. It is an utter myth and a canard that there's some
Wait a minute.
Firewall
Wait a minute.
Between
Jeff,
DOJ.
Hold on. Greg, hold on a second. If the president is agreeable, why doesn't he just get it from the judge who's agreeable? Keep Sessions out of it.
Separation of powers.
Okay.
It would be a legal quagmire that would be litigated for more than a year. The efficient way to do it is to get it from
All
the
right.
source, Department
All
of
right.
Justice and FBI.
But I think it is amazing that the presiding justice would say, I'm ready to release this information of
Truly
the FISA
amazing.
Court. All right, Sarah, the second point you were making.
The second point is this. The Department of Justice is arguing, and I've spoken to officials today, the Department of Justice is arguing one thing. They know that everybody's coming down on Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And what they're saying is, look, let Michael Horowitz do his job. This is his purview. This is his mandate. His mandate is over the DOJ and over the FBI. And his investigators can continue this investigation. They argue that if they bring in a special counsel, a special prosecutor, they would have to take more than likely FBI agents to be investigators. And they may not be able to do that because they may just be put out. They may have to reach out to the Postmaster General to get investigators from there who aren't up to speed on this investigation.
So the argument is we got to have the Inspector General continue on this issue when the Inspector General has no grand jury, no ability to prosecute. We know that the Inspector General has taken forever on what he's doing right now. We're still waiting. We can wait till the cows come home. But even more than that, I mean, you know, they don't have sufficient FBI agents to investigate. That's hogwash.
I think that they would be compromised out. That's what they're saying.
Get new guys.
Exactly. You bring in a second special counsel who has subpoena power, who can compel people to testify and obtain documents from them with a grand jury. And you can do it very efficiently. You hire your own team of people. I know several former FBI agents who would be more than happy to return to the job to work for a new second special counsel and get somebody in there like a Joe DeGeneva who's actually smart and competent and experienced, and he would do it efficiently.
Well, and you know what's amazing is the idea that you know, all of these FBI agents would be compromised or conflicted, and there are no other guys to do or women to do the job. Sarah, last word.
Well, and I agree with you there, Judge. I mean, there are people within the Bureau that are outstanding, that are not compromised, that would be willing to do this. And I think there's a lot more coming out in Michael Horowitz's IG report beyond what we're seeing on McCabe. I think there's going to be a lot of eyes wide open once that report comes out, and I think it'll be very soon.
I hope so. Anyway, thanks so much.
Well, what I'm seeing is that some of these lady reporters, like Tammy Bruce and Lisa Booth, and then Judge Jeanine, by gosh, they knock them down dead, you know. And that's why I'm featuring some of these ladies now. They just stand up. I mean, Sarah Carter for her background, has been reporting on the FISA scandal for about a year, primarily on Sean Hannity, but she writes columns and things like that also. So some of these ladies have really been stand up, and there's a number, you know, that it's probably several, about a dozen or so, that have really stood up and are speaking the truth about these different matters, you know. And we just have to continue to put this information out. There's the mind itself. The human mind can rationalize away about anything. And there's over 100 ways to deceive ourselves with cognitive type of biases and so forth. And there's all kinds of mechanisms that we can just selective selection, a very selective, you know, choosing of data that buoyants our own pre-existing opinions and ideas. And that's what really one of the main problems that we have is that from birth onward we become predisposed to certain ways of thinking about things and perceiving the world and the general reality that we exist in, this within this space-time continuum, you could say. And in this space-time continuum, we don't come out of the delusion that I believe is created from having all of this preconditioning, you know, induced into us, first by our parents, later by our first schoolings, and then churches, and then individuals, and professors. But professors are interesting in the sense that they become like father figures, see, and we want to believe in what they're saying, and so we have sort of a default mechanism at times, whether it's far to the left or far to the right, that we'll begin to associate some of our views with a very, very strong personality that can elucidate in a very convincing, very strong, very powerful way that they're right, see. Now, these scandals, just recently, Barack Obama made a speech at MIT, and he said that his administration, his 8 years, was unscarred by scandals, but he's the biggest liar there is. His administration was accentuated by major, major scandals. There was this energy scandal. There was the IRS scandal. There's going into Libya and Syria, Syrian scandal, the Benghazi scandal. And it's a long list, see. And they just stand up there and lie. I mean, he's a proven liar, Barack Obama is. Now, you know, these FISA court proceedings and these investigations, as they're continuing, are getting a greater and greater amount of evidence out there. And Nunes is really leading the charge in this with his committee, and I must admire him. Recently, the Democrats released their own memo, see, and it was just it was nothing to that. In fact, parts of it actually reinforced that first memo that was released by the Republicans. But one characteristic about the Democratic memo is that it was heavily redacted, where the Republican memo was hardly redacted at all, meaning that they took a lot of forethought, the Republicans did, before they released their memo. Now, we're seeing in there a division continuing between the left and the right and the Democrats and the Republicans. And it's not lessening any, and it's not dissipating, I should say. It would be a better word. And these Zelensky techniques, Hillary is a master at this, and so is Obama. And all they did for the full 8 years that during the Obama is they sowed in a lot of hate and resentment for the opposite ethnic groups or the opposite, groups. They would put the women feminists against the men and the men against the women and just stir it up and just create just a hodgepodge of chaos and so forth. And that's continuing on, and it's unbelievable the tags that they're giving to Trump. But let me say this about Trump. These negotiations that we saw some video of this week when the school shooting occurred, and we're going to have more clips on that during the second hour. So stay tuned in. Just click off on the second hour here to listen to those clips. The next hour, I'm going to feature an interview I had with Ole Domegaard, who predicted the Florida shooting on several past radio programs. And then we're going to get in and bring current here some of the clips of different individual witnesses of the school shooting in Florida at the Douglas High School there, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And then I'm going to give you some insights of what I've recently discovered. And there was a video just released that showed men leaving Building 12 there on the campus of the high school, Douglas High School. So we're going to discuss that also. But what we're seeing now develop is a greater and greater, you could say, division between the Republicans and the Democrats. And the Democrats are beginning to rationalize, get irrational on some of the evidence that's being presented to them by the Republicans. And it's getting to be really vicious attacks, you know. And let's get back to what I want to say about President Trump. Is in the video that was released of his negotiations with Schumer and Feinstein and these type of people, he began to say, oh, well, just put that in there and go ahead. Yeah, what else do you want to put in there? And some of us are thinking, and some people have expressed opinions, that he's just loading it up with so much that it won't be acceptable by any group, by the left or the right, by the gun control or the gun rights people. See, it's just that's what some people are saying. But I think Larry Pratt made a very, very good point recently on a talk show. And he said, you don't play around with gun rights, okay, with the Second Amendment. And I think that President Trump is making a mistake in the way that he's negotiating, you could say, some of these gun rights and so forth with the opposing, you could say, party or the opposing view. They're going to load in there as much as they can. And then in addition, Schumer's expressed the fact that, well, the president now, he's putting the responsibility on the president, saying the president, it's up to him to get his coalition, his, you know, Republican, you know, faction to get this approved. And then, of course, they've loaded it up with every gun control restriction that you could ever dream up, you know. No magazines and this and that. And, you know, they've done away with, you know, with their proposal, they've done away with gun rights, period, see. And butchered the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment has to remain strong and should remain strong, because with a strong Second Amendment, then that is protection for all the other, originally nine other, you could say, Bill of Rights, which the Bill of Rights, you know, consisted of 10 amendments to the Constitution. The amendments were made at the first meeting of Congress, and that's why they're called amendments, say, 10 amendments. But the Second Amendment concerning gun rights and the right to keep and bear arms, it protects to a large extent all the other rights, see. And also, it's not about possessing arms to go hunting. It's possessing arms to protect yourself against a repressive government. And this government is ongoing, and they're becoming more and more repressive, more and more police state, and so forth. We haven't seen them stop this NSA monitoring and recording either. They just went ahead and approved that. And that's very dangerous territory to begin to get into. So we want to thank you out there, our listening audience, for all the support we've garnered from you, that you've given us over the years. And we're at a point now in this country with this turn of events of the, you could say, censoring through banning, stealth banning, and all this other techniques with manipulating these algorithms, that it doesn't look very, very good for the individual, for individual freedoms and rights. And so we're entering a stage now, a very dangerous stage in American history, that we've got to stand up for freedom and liberty. But this is for both, everyone. When a libertarian or someone that's called a conservative or a classical liberal or whatever begins to protect individual freedoms and rights, that's for both parties. That's for all citizens in the country. And it does, to a large extent, you know what I mean, protect illegal aliens. They have rights, too, to a degree. Well, thank you for listening. And hang in there for the next hour.